Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect.
Welcome to Burden Blessing Podcast. I'm Pastor Mark Tiefel. Joining me today is Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew. We're talking about vocation on this Labor Day weekend. Nathaniel, welcome.
How are you, Mark?
I'm doing well. Happy to catch up with you and to get going on this very important topic, especially around this time of year. Just get us started here and tell us what vocation is. Not many people use that word nowadays.
Well, the word vocation is an interesting one. It actually comes from the Latin, and it means calling. So when we talk about vocation, you're right, a lot of people don't think of a vocation or don't talk about vocation today. When a person is looking for a job, a lot of times they will talk about the fact that they're looking for an occupation, something to fill their time, to earn money, to get a job, that type of thing. But when we talk about vocation, we're talking about something deeper than just getting a job, earning money. We're actually talking about using our God-given gifts or abilities in order to glorify God and to serve our neighbor. So one of the illustrations that I like to use to show the difference between a vocation and an occupation is that you have a guy who deals drugs. You can have a drug dealer or you can have a pharmacist. Now, both of those jobs might be occupations in a worldly sense, but only one of those is a vocation. Only one of those two people is using his God-given gifts in order to serve his neighbor, and that would be the pharmacist. The drug dealer is not benefiting society. He's hurting society for his own personal gain. And so what we're going to be taking a look today as we study the topic of vocation is how we can use our God-given gifts, the things that God has built into us, for the intended use of serving our neighbor, looking for those gifts and looking for ways then to serve our neighbor in that way.
So in that sense, we're kind of looking at vocation as something that every person has. You know, we often think, you mentioned the word calling as kind of a definition there. We always talk about pastors having a call or teachers having a call, but here you're telling us that everybody has a vocation.
Absolutely. God has given to every person gifts. The problem is that a lot of people don't use their God-given gifts in order to glorify God and to serve their neighbor. And to build on what you just mentioned there, Mark, there's another aspect that I think we want to recognize is that we can have more than one vocation at a time. For example, you have a vocation as a pastor. You have another vocation as a husband. You have another vocation as a father. You have another vocation as a son. These are all aspects of our vocation, the gifts that God has given to us in order to serve the people in the world around us. And if you think about that in that larger scale, look at how God uses people in order to give what he intends for them to have through others. Luther liked to use the example of vocation as the mask of God. In other words, when your son has you taking care of him, it's in essence God taking care of your son through you. You are that mask that God puts on in order to care for Micah. And it's a beautiful picture that, you know, God, people complain, oh, you know, I don't see God. No, but look at the masks of God that you see all around you, how God is caring for you in these physical ways through other human beings, and that includes both believers and unbelievers. Even unbelievers can be a mask of God, whether intended or not by themselves, in order to benefit the neighbor and to serve God.
It puts a whole new meaning on the idea of being created in God's image in that sense where, you know, all humans come pre-programmed, ready to serve in that capacity, even if they don't necessarily have God in their hearts. They still have that part in their nature and the way God created them that they can serve And that's exactly, well, you know, that's what God calls them to do. That's what he wants them to do, even if they resist that. But it's kind of a neat way to think about that. There's really two extremes, then, isn't there, from this middle road of vocation. On the one hand, we would probably get people who emphasize what they need to do too much, perhaps emphasizing the material aspect of their work or who they are or what they're supposed to be doing, and getting more towards the occupation side of it. We certainly see lots of examples of that, right, where people focus so much on what they can see. Like you said, we can't see God with our own eyes necessarily, but focusing only too much on themselves. The other side of it seems to be the individual that doesn't give themselves enough credit, the individual that kind of has the attitude, well, I can't do anything, I'm not qualified, I don't have any gifts, and that can be a dangerous attitude too.
Absolutely. You know, the Lord makes it very clear that he gives gifts to men. And through those gifts, he wants us to come to understand what those gifts are so that we might use them as his servant and in his service to the world around us. You know, every aspect of our life is touched on by this. And you're right, there's two ditches that we can fall into, either not wanting to serve God or to overemphasizing the physical as opposed to the spiritual, or not recognizing the gifts that God has given to us and seeking out other ways, other terms, looking simply to find a job that pays the most instead of looking to use the gift that God has given to you. And you think about, you know, burnout in the workplace. And how often even we as parents, maybe not intentionally, but we encourage our children, you know, oh, get a good paying job, instead of encouraging them to look at what the gifts that God has given to them are and say, how can I use these gifts? What is God leading me to do? How could I use those gifts? And if you're using your gifts, there's going to be a less likelihood of burnout, because you're doing what God has created you to do, as opposed to simply doing what you don't want to do just for that paycheck at the end of every week.
Yeah, the word I often hear is the practical career, the career that makes sense, the career that's going to be high paying. Even if it's not suited towards that individual's skills, right, or abilities or gifts, you're kind of forcing something there that doesn't fit, and that can really be a dangerous thing, obviously. So we're talking here about recognizing, first of all, what God's calling to us may be, what our vocation may be, what our skills, abilities, gifts may be suited for. Tell us a few ways, or give us a few tips on how we can recognize that in our lives.
Well, I think we have to start even a little bit before that. First of all, I think we live in a world in which people view work as a necessary evil. And that's not the case. If you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, after God had finished creating the world, he creates Adam and Eve. One of the things that we run into in Genesis chapter 2 is the fact that God gives Adam work to do in the perfect world before the fall into sin. Now, there's a couple of different aspects of work that God gave to Adam. Can you think of any jobs that God gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden before the fall into sin?
Caretaker of the garden, obviously. Caretaker of creation.
The two big ones that you run into right away, he built or made a garden for Adam, we're told, in Eden, and he placed Adam there in order to tend the garden and to care for it. And you're right, even before that, in Genesis chapter 1, we're told that God entrusted the care of all of creation into the hands of Adam's as the crown of God's creation. There was another task that God gave to Adam, though, also, and that came on day one, but it's mentioned in Genesis chapter 2, and that was the naming of all the animals. The Lord brings all of the animals to Adam, and he says, Adam, I want you to name them. Whatever you name them, that's what their name will be. So this is in that perfect world. God says, Adam, I want to give you work to do. I want you to find satisfaction. I want you to take pride in your work. And this is something that I think has been lost in a lot of in our world today. As a result of sin, yes, work is not always easy. It's difficult. It's painful. In Genesis chapter 3, after the fall into sin, the Lord comes to Adam and he says, now, because of sin, you will eat, but it'll be by the sweat of your brow. Weeds are going to grow. Thorns and thistles the earth will produce, rather than just the fruit of the ground that it was intended to. So yes, it is more difficult. But even in this sinful world, God still intends for us to find satisfaction and to take pride in the work that he has given to us. We should be excited about using the gifts that God has given to us for the benefit of our neighbor and to the glory of God. You know, it's not always easy to be a parent, is it? I mean, that comes with a lot of challenges. And yet, there are those moments, aren't there, where you look at the day and you say, oh, you know, that finally sunk in. You know, finally that point was made. Or you see that joy in a child who finally learned something that you've been working in order to teach or to instill in them. There's that joy, that satisfaction that comes from being a father, a parent, a mother. And the same thing is also true in the other vocations that we find in using our talents, our abilities that God has given to us. So God gives us, if you look at it in this big picture, God gives us our daily bread by what? By means of the farmer, the baker, the cook. He gives us this gift of life through fathers and mothers. All of these different aspects of vocation, these are gifts that God has given through individuals in order to serve us. So number one, vocation is how God serves us through our neighbor, but it's also how God serves our neighbor through us.
Yeah,
it works both ways.
Yeah. Two observations here. Tell me if I'm right. I'm trying to recap your thoughts there, going back to Genesis. First observation, work is a gift from God, correct?
Yes.
Like you said, we don't think about it that way, do we? But no. I mean, when you really get down to it, that was one of the first gifts God gave Adam. And, you know, for Adam, finding his calling was pretty easy because God told him what it was. And so as we try to find what our vocation is and what God is calling us to do, it can be a little difficult because there's more options. Second observation is this. Going back to creation, thinking about vocation, since God created Adam to work, is it right to say that without work, we are not complete as humans that God has created? That if we try to avoid work, if we try to be lazy and indifferent towards what God has created us to do, we really will never find a full understanding of who we are. Is that correct too?
Absolutely. You know, God has, he has built into us, even in the perfect world, the need to work, to use our gifts. If God didn't want Adam to work, he wouldn't have given him those gifts, but he gave Adam gifts and he wanted him to use those gifts for the benefit of creation in that perfect world. So absolutely that's the case, that we will not find satisfaction, we will not be complete if we sit around and don't use the gifts that God has given to us for his glory and the benefit of those around us. God wants us to use them in these ways.
So really in that sense, you know, stressing in our culture for people to try to get the easy way and for people to try to find the path of least resistance. And we're not saying here you have to have a horrible occupation, but to have the attitude of saying, let me just find the easiest way possible to get as much as I can, that's really cheating us out of who God created us to be. And what an astounding thing in that sense, where so many people gravitate towards that because they think it's the path of prosperity, but it's a lie.
Right. And I think, too, recognizing that God intends for us to have this satisfaction, it can change our outlook on the job that we have.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Number one, to find a job where we can use our talents and abilities, but instead of looking at it as a dead-end job where you can't do anything, ask yourself, well, how am I serving my neighbor in this job? And for example, you have the garbage collector. That's not, other than the fact that, you know, little kids like to say, oh, you know, I would love to ride on that truck, you know, that goes by and collects the recycling every day. You know, it's one of the stinkiest, smelliest jobs that are out there. But look at what an impact it has on society. Imagine what would happen if all of a sudden we didn't have anybody collecting garbage. It might not be the most prestigious job in town, but it is one of the most valuable jobs in town, and you are giving a service to society by serving in that capacity.
And what a testament to God's glory, too, when you're able to take a job that may not be desirable or a job that may be difficult and do it without complaining. and to show that, you know what, my life is more than just about money or material possession or what society tells me is practical and what isn't. I'm looking more at my relationship with God, how I can serve Him, and through that, serve those around me. What greater and deep joy someone can get through an attitude like that than looking at some of these superficial things.
Absolutely. Yeah, the book of Ecclesiastes has a lot to say about the joy of work. And let me just read you one verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 5. In verse 19, Solomon writes, "Furthermore, for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, He has also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God." Isn't that beautiful?
It doesn't get any clearer.
It doesn't get any clearer. Solomon says this is God's intent. He gives this to us as a gift, the ability to use the talents that He has entrusted to us, built into us, to His glory in whatever way it might be throughout the days of our life.
With that understanding, there really is no one that can say, I don't have any way to serve God. I don't have any gifts. We certainly don't want to brag and be arrogant and glorify ourselves. But at the same time, we don't want to shortchange what God has given us and also what He asks of us to do right now. So to bring this around full circle here, the last kind of question for us to discuss, we know that everybody has a vocation. And many people, we all have several vocations when we actually take time to think about what God is asking us to do in life. Give us some information then, how, especially for many of our young people who are looking for what career they'd like to establish, how they can serve their fellow neighbor and the church, things like that. How do we best recognize what God is asking us to do?
Well, number one, as you're looking for a job, don't say what job pays the best. And probably number two, if you want to ask yourself, what gifts has God given to me? What am I good at? What am I just naturally able to do? And if you can't see those things for yourself, then ask the people around you. Ask your parents. Ask some of your friends. You know, what gifts do you see in me that I could then apply? And then once you know what those gifts are, you can begin to say, okay, I could use those gifts in this field of work or in that field of work. I could use it in healthcare. I could use it in soul care. I could use it in providing or protecting for the people of my society by being a fireman or a police officer. What gifts has God given to you? And if you can't see those, ask the people around you. Do you see that I have particular gifts? How could I then use those gifts in a particular field that maybe you're not focused on thinking, oh yeah, you know, I'd really like to be this, but maybe that can help you to open your eyes and say, this is a way that I can serve God and also serve my neighbor in the same way.
Yeah, I'd add on to that too. Certainly, most importantly, is I think getting the Lord's counsel through His Word and also getting the counsel of those He's put into your life. But I'd say too, if you're a young person, don't be afraid to try too. Don't be afraid to try something that you think you might have the skill for, and don't be worried if it's not going to work out. You know, if you decide after trying it, then that wasn't it. You know, you've got time to choose. You know, even into adulthood, it's never too late to shape the way that we serve the Lord and to better refocus our understanding of His callings for us. I think a lot of people get worried about, well, what if I try this and fail? What will people think? What will happen? Will I get another chance? Will I be able to move on to what I want to do? The Lord knows that. He's here. He's guiding you. And like you read from Ecclesiastes, He promises you a good thing here. You right. know, if He says it's good, He will back it up. He will bless it for you. I think those are all very good points to remember.
We certainly don't want to think, if we're looking for the gifts that God has given to us, then it can't fail. God is going to bless the result, the use of those gifts in whatever capacity. It may not be the capacity that we thought we would use it in. For example, you have a person who's an artist, and you know, if you're an artist or music, that kind of thing is sometimes hard to get into. And yet, how could you use your gift of art or music in another way to serve the Lord? How could you use that in order to serve his kingdom, his church work here on earth? There's many ways that you can use those gifts in order to serve the Lord and your neighbor.
Yeah, it might be tough to get to make it an occupation, but if that's not your sole focus, there's lots right. of neat ways. I mean, I know musicians who would love to do what they do for a living, but simply can't because that field is so narrow. But they'll do things like playing at church or right. going to the nursing home and playing and performing for the people there. And I mean, what an act of service in those areas to be able to use what an extraordinary gift. To serve. You don't always get a lot of fanfare for it.
Right.
You're not going to get a lot of money for it. But again, let's make sure our priorities are not only in those material areas.
But if you only have a little bit and you are satisfied and you are receiving the Lord's blessings and his promise, then that's all that matters. And I'm a whole lot happier being not well paid but using the gifts that God has given to me than the other way around, being well paid and being miserable for my entire life every day that I go to work. You've got to ask yourself at some point, what's the best of the two alternatives?
Mm-hmm. Good discussion for sure. Well, that's a good recap of the topic of vocation in the Christian life. Thank you for the input, Nathaniel, the good discussion. And, may the Lord bless all of our listeners, and I hope this was a good discussion topic for our Labor Day weekend. Go and study the Word, pray to the Lord, seek the input of others, and try to recognize some of the ways God might be calling you to service in your life for the benefit of your neighbor and for his own glory through the gospel. That concludes our podcast for today. That the Lord go with you and bless you.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.